not of God, but yet they sound like God, or it sounds like it's from God, especially if it's coming from the pulpit or from a preacher or for somebody on YouTube, because everybody on YouTube knows everything about everything, and everybody on the internet knows absolutely everything about everything. And don't listen to your pastor, listen to those people, because, no, yes, Frank. Chapter 4, verse 1. First John. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. So it tells you that there are spirits out there, and he tells us to try them. That means test them. It means make sure that they are of godly spirit or not. And there's only two ways you can go, up or down, amen, heaven or hell, evil or good. There's only two spirits there can be. Thank goodness that there's not a whole lot. Very easy with God. He makes it very simple. It's either God or it's not. Amen? It's either God or it's not. So look what he says. It says, whether they be are of God, because many false, and he tells you, prophets. Prophets. So you don't have to worry about where the spirits are coming from. You don't have to worry about where I wonder what these thoughts are, because he's telling you where they're coming from. They're coming from teachers, false teachers. They're coming from false religious leaders. They're coming from false prophets. Amen. It says they're gone out of the world. And verse 2 says, hereby, this is how you're going to know you are the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. I want you to realize that's in this world is the spirit of Antichrist. And everything that the Bible teaches us and tells us, that who are these spirits? Where do they come from? What are they? The Bible tells us that they were angels. Spirits are angels. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that angels are made ministering spirits, flames of fire. So therefore, we know that in the spirit world, that where did these devils come from? They came from the created being, from God. God created them. And what turned them? What changed them? What made them into devils when they were once the angels of God? And I want you to think about that, because if it can change an angel, it can change a human. Now, the thing with an angel is that once they sin, they get consumed in sin because they're a spirit. So if you have a bad spirit, thank God that our spirits are not like their spirits. The Bible says that's why the angels are not like us, because they are in an eternal state. We are not. We're in a temporal state. This body will die. Amen? And we all say it's a terrible thing, but in all reality, it's a good thing. Because it will die, God has given us great mercies, and God has given us great, great grace. And the angels don't have the mercies, and they don't have the grace. They are an eternal spirit. So once they become sin, they become sin eternally. Does that make sense, anyone? And the only way they could get redemption is if God died for them eternally. But we know Jesus Christ didn't die for us eternally. He died for 3 days and three nights and rose again. Amen. And he's alive forevermore to give redemption to all mankind. And that's a great thing. My point to that is that the spirit of Antichrist is out there. What is Antichrist? It is a religious. Put it this way. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The problem is people don't know the truth. And because they don't know the truth, they're deceived by lies and deception. Angels are deceived. People are deceived. Anyone can be deceived. Anyone. Have you ever bought a used car? You ever bought something that was touted to be one thing and it wasn't? Some of you have bought husbands that weren't what you thought they were. Some of you bought wives. The thing is we all get deceived no matter what it is. Amen? And so therefore, never be deceived when it comes to the things of God. Now that said, we're going to pick it up where we ended off last week, and we're going to do that in 1 Samuel chapter 15, talking about witchcraft. And I want you to realize that witchcraft is out there. Witchcraft used to be practiced very powerfully in the Old Testament. And the reason witchcraft was very strong in the Old Testament is because where did people go when they died in the Old Testament. If you die, if your grandma died, where did she go when she died in the Old Testament? Anybody know? No, there's no such thing as purgatory. Did you say purgatory, Michelle? Your Catholics just came out of you. Amen. There is no such thing as purgatory. That's a lie. It's a lie from false prophets that teach you that, that deny the blood and the atonement of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ, his blood and atonement can't get you to heaven, what can? Nothing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ died once on the cross that makes eternal salvation for all people. Eternal life I give you, everlasting life I give you, and no one shall pluck you out of my Father's hands. If you had to go to purgatory and pay for your sin, then Jesus was a fool. He was a fool for dying for you if you had to still go and pay for your sin. Is Jesus a fool? Is God a fool? No, so that's a lie. Purgatory is a lie from false prophets, one of the antichrists that they tell you about. Yes, Brian, you had your hand up? No, I want to know where people went when they died. Go ahead. Tell us. Okay, and where was paradise? In hell, amen. So they went into the center of the earth is where they went. One was a place for the people that were righteous in God's eyes. They went to a place called Abraham's bosom, a place called paradise, set for them where the trees of Eden and Garden of Eden was down there. They were comforted. The other place was a place of darkness, of fire, of despair, of wailing, gnashing of teeth, a place that we know as hell, Sheol, as they call it. Amen? So therefore, before Christ was crucified, nobody went to heaven. Nobody, because Jesus didn't open heaven yet, needed the blood to open heaven. Amen? And so therefore, there were many beings down in hell. Witchcraft could contact them. Witchcraft and sorcery could contact them. Do you understand that? That's very scary stuff. That's what movies are made of. And Poltergeist and all those weird movies that we got from Hollywood. That is not biblical. It's not Bible. But sorcery is real. And sorcery comes, and witchcraft comes from angels. It comes from angels that have knowledge of things, amen, that we do not in the spiritual world. You do not want to mess around with the spiritual world. Look with me, if you would, please. 1 Samuel chapter 15. We have the story of Saul, who God rejected him, and he's looking to hear from the prophet Samuel. And it says, I want you to look first of all with 1 Samuel 15:23. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of, say it, church, witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So therefore, rebellion and stubbornness. You ought to underline those in your Bible. Rebellion, stubbornness. Rebellion, stubbornness. Who did we rebel against? Authority. The authority, the number one authority. If you're rebelling against authority, you have a spirit of witchcraft in you. If you're rebelling against God, you have a spirit that's causing you to rebel. I'm just here to tell you, none of us are supposed to be rebellious. We're all supposed to be submissive to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God. The Bible tells us to be submissive to one another, husbands and wives. The Bible tells the wives to be submissive to their husbands. The Bible tells us that both are supposed to be submissive to God. You're supposed to be submissive to the man of God. You're supposed to be submissive to the laws of man, even. God, Paul wrote and Peter wrote in the New Testament that we are supposed to give heed and obedience to all the laws of man. Why? So that you'll live a peaceful life. But the greatest law that we're supposed to give heed to is the law of God. And so therefore, how many people are honestly and truly the rebellious? They don't want to get, why? Something inside of you is rebelling. Something inside doesn't like to be told what to do. That's exactly what the angels were in heaven. They didn't want to be told what to do. And that's the spirit of rebellion, is the spirit of witchcraft, because it comes from a demonic, evil, lustful spirit. And he says stubbornness, being stubborn. You know anybody who's stubborn? Well, listen to me closely. Don't be stubborn. The Jews were stubborn. Jesus called them, God called them stubborn and stiff-necked people. They just didn't want to listen to God. And look what happened to them. Look what's happening over to Israel right now. That's because Israel has not turned themselves to the Lord. Israel has not done what God has told them to do. God has protected them. God has kept them. But it's going to get really bad for Israel because the time of Jacob's trouble is coming. The tribulation is coming because the rapture and the catching away of the body and the bride of Jesus Christ is imminent. Any minute it could happen. Before this message is over, Jesus could call us home and we could all be gone. That's why we need to be ready. So the Bible, Jesus said, be ready, watchful, pray, and watch, because you know not the day or the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Amen. And then when he does come, that's when all of Israel, you think it's bad now with this little war? How many people died? 300 or more are dead. I didn't watch it today. There's probably going to be way more. But it's going to be bad. It's not going to be good. Amen. Anyway, turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel 28. In 1 Samuel 28, we have the story. I've got to go quick because we already read it last week. And in chapter 28, verse 7, it says, then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her, and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and the two men with him. And they came to the woman by night and said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul has done, how that he has cut off those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me, for you are Saul? And the king said unto her, be not afraid. For what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods, that's angels, ascending out of the earth. That's hell. That's when you die, you get sent either to heaven or the earth. Now, then when you died, you got sent into the lake of fire or hell fire or a place of comfort. Either way, the angels were descending in and out of it. So if angels can descend in and out, I don't know this for sure, but spirits can also, I imagine, because she brought one up. Look what it says. And he said unto her in verse 14, what form of thee? And she said, an old man comes up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, this is all through the witch, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answers me no more, neither by prophet nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. I want to stop right there for time's sake. But Saul wasn't seeing this. The witch was seeing this. Do you understand? And the witch is the one that has familiar spirit. Now think about that. You're going to find that in Scripture. Familiar spirit. I hope and pray you don't have a familiar spirit. I hope there's not a spirit that's familiar with you. I hope there's not a devil out there that's familiar with you. A devil, an unclean spirit of lust, an unclean spirit of alcohol and drugs and addiction, an unclean spirit of lying, an unclean spirit of anger, an unclean spirit of stubbornness, an unclean spirit of rebellion. You better watch yourself real good, real close, real careful. Because when you got saved, you have one master. When you got saved, you have one master. One Lord, one God, one King. Only one that you listen to. You don't listen to no one else. So why is it that you're stubborn? Why is it you don't want to listen to the pastor, to the preacher, to the teaching? Why don't you want to listen to the Holy Ghost of God? If you won't listen to man in whom you can see, what makes you think you're going to listen to the spirit in whom you cannot see? What makes you think you're going to, if you can't listen to the man with the big loud voice or the word of God that's speaking loudly to him, what makes you think you're going to listen to the still, small voice? And the truth of the matter is the spirit of stubbornness, it says, is as idolatry. Pay attention. Because you know what idolatry is? Idolatry is you putting something else before God. Thou shalt have no gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, pray to them, talk to them. And you know what the problem is back in the Old Testament, the idols and the gods of this world were the gods of people. Today, we are the gods. People care about themselves. They put themselves before God more than anything else. We are the reason there's stubbornness is because you have made yourself a God. What does that mean? I'll listen to me before I listen to the Holy Spirit. I'll do what I want to do before I listen. Tell what God tells me to do. Does that make sense, anybody? That's why we're stubborn, because it's about us. And if you put yourself before God, you're the idol. It's pretty tough when you got to knock over your idols and destroy your idols, and that idol's you. Amen. Let's move on. I want you to look with me in Leviticus chapter 20. You see it in your paper. I gave you out handouts. Zach, if you want to come up and grab a paper, it's right there. I have the verses for you. Leviticus 20, verse 6 and 27. Let me know if you're there. It says in verse 6, it says, listen to this. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits. Now, who do you know in this world that proclaims to have familiar spirits? Robin, I know you know. If you were driving around town, where could you find someone that proclaims to have familiar spirits? No. Brian? Yeah, you see him on the thing. Palm readers. There's one right on in Norwood. Every time I'm in traffic, I stop right there and look at it, and I see it. It says a psychic reader, palm readers, this and that. They are proclaiming, I have a familiar spirit, and I can get in touch with spirits about you. I'm here to tell you, don't be surprised. That's why it says try the spirits, test the spirits. Don't be surprised if anyone comes up to you and gives you a word of prophecy. They can give you, you're going to meet somebody, and then you meet somebody. Oh, this is going to happen to you. It's happening. Or, you just had a mother who passed away, and they know things. Do you understand? They know things. And they'll get you because they say things that are true. And just like Samuel, he said things that are true. Amen? Look what it says in verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them. See, God calls that when you're going after other spirits to get information from them. God calls that you are committing adultery against him with them. It says, I will even set my face. Pay attention. If you do that, I'm going to set my face against that soul, and I will cut him off from among the people. And then he says, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Look in verse 27. It says, a man also or a woman that has a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. How serious does God take this stuff? Very serious. How serious does God take this stuff? How serious do we take it? Not at all. Not as serious at all. We have Halloween coming up. That's the day of the dead. That's the day of Satan, of Moloch. That's where you sacrifice your children unto them. I know, it's fun. It's just candy. It's just kids. That's exactly how they get you. See, you might not think it be a big deal, but you don't have a clue what's behind it, behind the masks, behind it all. And that's where we have to be very careful about these spirits, because that's how they get you. They're not going to have you jump right into praying to some angel. They're going to have you little bit by little bit by little bit. That's why Jesus said to Peter, he wants to sift you. You know, understand the action of sifting? It takes a long time to get it all through. And that's exactly, it's a little bit, it's not one shake and you're done. So these things are very serious. Turn with me, if you would please, to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. Say amen when you're there. And then we're going to Isaiah 8. Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. It says this, it says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer. Charms? Observer of times? You know what that is? It's astrology. Astrology was practiced big time back then. And knowing the stars and knowing their planetary is not a bad thing. But going to it for your knowledge and going to it for your horoscope and going to it for it to tell you what your life's going to be, that is witchcraft. That is sorcery. That is bad stuff. You don't go to, what did you say, the crystals? Is that what you're telling me about, crystals? Isn't that what it just says, charmers? Charms and enchantments? You ever see the movies? And I know it's movies. Don't take anything in movies. You know, the witches throw the bones and they throw the things and tarot card readers. All this stuff is real. Where do you think it came from? It came from a time when this witchcraft was very strong on the earth. When necromancy, you know what necromancy is? That's talking to the dead. You know, people in old Israel and others, they would get tattoos for the dead. And they would talk to the dead. And the Bible tells us we're not supposed to do that. Matter of fact, we're not even supposed to touch any dead body. That is what the Old Testament was like. You have to learn a lot of things. Look what he says, verse 11. Or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits. That means these spirits will tell them and talk to them. We have to be very careful of our thoughts. We have to be very careful of what we kind of information we're getting. Because what happens is if you all of a sudden at night in your bed and you're just reaching out into this spirit world and saying, oh, I want to know this and oh, I want to know that or help me. And all of a sudden some voices in your head start speaking to you. And just say they tell you something really cool. That's going to be very tempting to you to want to know more. And that's what it is. You get familiar with it. The only thing we should be familiar with is the Holy Spirit of God. We should be familiar with the Word of God. We should really take this stuff because it's not a joke. The reason it isn't like it is today, like it was back then, is because we have Jesus Christ who defeated the power of Satan, who crushed his head, and we have the blood of Christ, and we have the light of the world which dispels the darkness. We have the name of Jesus on our churches, in our governments. We have the name of God everywhere. And in so doing that, it keeps these spirits that used to be all over at bay. Israel, when they got a good king, he would cast these people out of the land. He would get rid of the Sodomites, and he would get rid of the transvestites and the effeminate, and he'd get rid of those that have familiar spirits and all. And the land would be cleansed. And Israel would have great prosperity. But as soon as that king was gone and another king came in and they started setting this stuff up, darkness came into the land and evil and wickedness. And then God had to judge Israel. That's what's happening in America today. You can see it. The light is going down. The voices of the righteous are dwindling. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the preaching of Jesus is getting less and less and less. And listening more and more and more to the spirit of this world, where it's all about you. If it makes you feel good, then it's got to be good. If you go to church, you got to come out feeling good. If you go to church, it's got to be a rock star. It's got to be a party. It's got to be entertainment. That is the spirit of the world that is not of God. God is holy, true, righteous, pure, and perfect. Amen? And guess what? We are none of those things. We need him and his word and his instruction. The fear of the Lord is your life. The instruction of God and the ways of God is a way that we should walk in. But yet we don't, because we want to feel happy and good. And the truth of the matter is my happiness doesn't come from out there. It comes from in here. It comes from God. He gives me the joy and the happiness when I obey him. God is so good. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Isaiah 8. Or did I read it all? Hold on, let me finish reading. Verse 11. Charmer, consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. And he says it again as he said it before. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. I just want you, and look in verse 15, talks about Christ coming. He says, the Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. Talking about Christ being that prophet. Turn to Isaiah chapter 8, please. Isaiah chapter 8, look in verse 19. We're going to read 19 to 22. It says, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, Should not a people seek unto their God for the living or for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to the word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it. Hardly. Look what it says. Those that do this stuff, they're going to pass through it. They're going to go through this, the tribulation. It says, hardly. Be stead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look onto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness and anguish. And they shall be driven to darkness. They're going to be driven to the prince of this world. They're going to be driven because God will no longer feed them, take care of them, bless them, protect them. So they're going to look for someone that will. And that's going to be the Antichrist, because the Antichrist is setting up and getting ready to come. He's going to take over. He's going to take care. And everyone that is left behind that will not serve or follow God is going to follow him. Does that make sense, anyone? Look at me if you wouldn't. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. Say amen when you're there. Heather, would you read that out loud, please? Amen. I hope and pray you all heard that, because it tells you right there what the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of this world and the spirit's anger, contention, envy, stubbornness, rebellion. I see it in the churches today. It's not the latter part of that verse where it says about caring for one another, kindness, mercy, love. I see people angry at each other. I see people stressed out and just not being Christian. They're being something else, a spirit that they're familiar with. Let me tell you something. When you got saved, let me just put it the words I like. When you got born again, the old you died, was buried in the baptismal water, and the new you is resurrected to walk in the newness of life. And when the new you has a new spirit, and the new you has a new master. And the new you has a new God. And a new way. And a new truth. And a new life. Why is it it's so hard for Christians to stop acting like they used to act and start acting a new way? I want you to think deeply about that, because I believe too many of us have familiar spirits. We're familiar with the way we used to be. I get angry like that. I snap at people. I tell people my mind. That's the old you. You're familiar. You have a familiar spirit that you're very familiar with when you're not familiar with the one you're supposed to be with. If you would read for me the words that you just read that say about, talks about the love and the mercy. Go ahead, please. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. It's long-suffering. It's gentle. It's meek. You know what meekness is? Meekness isn't weakness. Meekness is, Joe, I could crush your head, but I won't. Sir, that's meekness. I could smash you right now. I have a power to smash you, but I would not do that because I care about you. That's meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under constraint. And so therefore, we need to realize that if you're a snappy, and you're angry, and you have contention, and you have a problem with people, the people aren't the problem. You are. You have a familiar spirit. You got a spirit in you that's not gentle, not meek, not obedient, not submissive. You better check yourself. Go long and hard. Because you have a spirit, all right? You're familiar with the old you. or you're familiar with the spirit that's telling you, egging you on, don't let them talk to you like that. Don't make them like, I can't believe, you know what I mean? And it gets you riled up against one another. And that's what the Spirit of Christ says, no. Care about them more than you care about yourself. Listen to the authority put in your life. Turn with me, if you would, please, 1 Chronicles chapter 10. I'll get there sooner or later. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, look in verse 13 and 14 with me, please. It says, so Saul died in his transgression for which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and he inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. I want you to pay attention to that verse where it says, which he did not keep the word of the Lord, but he went and he asked familiar spirit what to do. Do not get your counsel off of someone else. Do not get your counsel off somebody's already mad at somebody. When somebody's causing a problem, and that somebody's, that problem they have, that anger, that attitude, that spirit is starting to spread out, do not go to somebody and say, what about them? I can't believe they did that. Look at that person. What this? How about this? Because what you're doing is you're going to getting counsel from a familiar spirit that's familiar, all right, with the devil. You should stop all that murmuring, complaining, all that gossiping, all that. Stop it. Right? Immediately stop it. Cut it off and go to God. Immediately. Because this stuff is real. And it's going to affect you. It's going to affect those around you. It's going to affect your family. It's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect your children. It's going to affect everyone. And it's very, very serious. Turn with me, if you would, please, to 2 Chronicles 33. Now this is turning up the heat, so to speak. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 6. It says, and he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Himnon. That Himnon is a place where they called hell. Also, he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit. Do you understand? Do you understand? What does that mean? Dealt with. He had one spirit that he was dealing with. You better think about it real hard. What spirit do you have that you're dealing with? I think all of us can be very susceptible to having a familiar spirit. You know why? Because when you got born, and when you grew, and you're a child, and then you became a teenager, and you all those years without knowing the Lord, you had a spirit, and that spirit was very familiar with you and knew you. Unclean spirit. And when you got born again, that spirit got kicked out. That spirit comes back, knows you, knows what you like, knows who you are, knows what you're all about, was part with you and knows your thinking, knows everything, very, very familiar with you. And that spirit will come back and start to get in here and get in your head. Because that spirit does not want you to listen to the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And you'll be rebellious, you'll be stubborn, you'll be stiff-necked, you'll sit in church your whole life, and you'll never grow. Because that's why Satan sent that spirit. Think of it, a big business meeting. And the Bible says that Satan is the head of all of it. And he says, okay, familiar spirit, you knew Heather, you knew Tammy, you knew Mike, you knew Robin, right? That was you. Go over there and get them to get away from the Bible. Get them out of this book. They're getting too close to God. Get them away. You know what they like. You know what they don't like. Get on them. How hard would it be to knock you off? And that's why you think it's a joke. We think it's a joke when the pastor says, read your Bible every day. Have a real prayer life, a real relationship. The most scariest words in all the Bible. Jesus saying, I never knew you. You think you have a relationship with him, but you don't know him. Because if you did, you wouldn't be the person you are today. Or at least you wouldn't be the person you are for all that time. Very serious stuff. Look at me, if you would, in Revelation chapter 22, and then we're going to Daniel. Tony, are you there in Revelation 22? Could you read 15 for me, please? That's what it's all about, lying. That's what the devil is. He's a liar from the beginning. He lied to himself, thinking that he was something when he wasn't. He lied to the angels. He lies to us. He's a liar. And what he is he's the spirit of anti-Jesus Christ. And the cults follow him, the religions follow him, and many of us follow his pernicious ways, the Bible says. It says we are not unaware of the way the devil deals with us. We need to be aware of it in our thoughts, in our minds. And he says, Tony, you don't have to, I got it. But he said, without are dogs, sorcerers, and whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loves and makes a lie. People like lies better than they like the truth. Just tell me I'm okay. Tell me you love me. Tell me I'm all right. You know what I mean? It's like, why are we such wimps? Why do we always have to be petted? Everything's got to be fine. Everything's good. Well, I'll tell you what. Let God do the petting. You know how he does it? With his spirit saying, I love you. I care about you. You love me. It's a wonderful relationship. I know you love me. I know you know that I love you. It's a great place to be, isn't it, friend? To be walking with him, loving, having real true love instead of being lied to. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 8 and hopefully we'll get through this part. The reason all this is so important is because what's happening in our world today, what's happening right now in the church today, we are in, listen to me closely, we are in the last days. We are in the end times, Toby. We're in it. It's the most interesting time to be alive because there's so many things of prophecy being fulfilled. And in Daniel 8, verse 9, we read about the Antichrist. And you can go back and study the chapters for yourself. And it says, and out of one of them came forth a little horn. That is one of the names for the Antichrist, the little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, toward the east, toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great. How great did it wax? Even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host, that's angels, and of the stars to the ground and stomped upon them. Caused them to sin, caused them to leave heaven. Now you might say, well, that has already happened. It's happening again. Because of the hearts of man, because of the time and age in which we live in, God is shaking heaven. We learned about this in men's Bible study, about the Bible says that now comes a time when God's not just going to shake the earth, he's going to shake the heavens also. And the book of Revelation says that when God does that, you're going to see many stars fall. And people look at it as, you know, literal, like falling stars, but God's speaking spiritually, angels are going to fall. And the more angels that fall upon this earth, that means more angels on this earth. That means more evil spirits. That means more sorcery, more idolatry, more, and more. Do you understand? And that's exactly what it's going to look what it says. It says in verse 10, and he waxed great into the host of heaven and caused some to fall to the ground, the stars. Verse 11, and he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, that's Jesus. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away and the place of the sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of the transgression. And he cast down the truth to the ground and practiced and prospered. Practiced means sorcery. He brings back the old ways. He brings back the old powers. He brings back the old gods, so to speak. He brings back the sorcery and the witches that before had no power, really, now are going to have power, really. And things are going to happen more and more and more like you used to read about it happening back in the old days. And it's because of the way in which we live in. Look in verse 24, please. Verse 24 says, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully and prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people, And through, look what it says, through his policy. Think about the policies that are going to be implemented. Through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. Witchcraft. And by peace shall he destroy many. And he shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without him. So we know the Antichrist is all about sorcery, is all about witchcraft, is all about... So I'm telling the church today, whoever will listen, stay away from horoscopes, stay away from devils, stay away from playing games, stay away, stay away, stay away. Because it is real. Are ghosts real? No. Ghosts are not real. Are spirits real? Definitely yes. Yes. Could be. Very well could be. I can't tell you what you saw. I wasn't there. But I can tell you absolutely could be. That's what familiar spirits are. They're spirits that you're familiar with. And that's the whole thing is that all these movies get in our head and we think it's like poltergeist and we think it's ghosts. It's none of that. Are spirits real? Yes, but you can't see them. You hear them. You see their effects, but you cannot see them. Yes, it could... Well, I'll put it this way. It could be an angel sent by God for you, or it could be a spirit sent from the devil for you. So that's why we don't pay attention to that. We pay attention to the Word of God. I had too many... Every person that I ever met that talked to me and said this about what you're talking about, I saw my son, I saw my father, I saw my mom standing at the end of the bed. I saw Jesus in my room. Right there, run. And if it's you, get rid of that. Because that is not Jesus standing there. I'm not saying you said, I'm saying I've heard it. Marion, all I know is what it could be. I don't know what it was. All I know is that you need to know the truth about the stuff so that when and if it ever happens to you, you don't get led away with it. Because it's real. So you have to stick the Word of God. What does Jesus say? Jesus say, no man will see me anymore until I come back. So people say they saw Jesus, you know it's not Jesus. People say I saw Mary, you know it's not Mary. All right? I'm just saying. It's because we have knowledge. Out of time. Look in verse 24. I already read that, didn't I? Okay, let's move on. Acts chapter 8. I want to hurry up because I got 2 minutes. We'll finish right here. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 11. Are you there? Look what it says. It says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, and saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, I may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said to him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray God, perhaps a thought of their heart may... See, he was being familiar with his old self. He was being familiar with the way his old ways. He was doing what he was used to doing and getting wanting to make money. And that's exactly... See, it's very simple to just go back to the way you were. Go back to who you were. The way how you were. Don't do it. That person was going to hell. That person was against God. So if you're still the same person, something's wrong. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ the Lord and Him alone, we pray, and we pray the hedge of the protection of the Holy Ghost around this property, around this place. We pray the hedge of the Holy Ghost around the hearts and minds of your people. We pray everyone that enters into this house, this sanctified holy house, that they would feel the presence of God. We pray that you'll bless the service ahead. We pray that you'll bless the communion that we're going to have with you. We pray that the blood of Jesus will be upon us, washing us, cleansing us, rebuking any unclean and familiar spirit from us, and fill us with the truth, the Word of God, the Holy Ghost from heaven, and give unto us the spirit of love, joy, and peace, spirit of long-suffering and gentleness, spirit of meekness and faith, goodness, and temperance. And let us rejoice. Let us praise you and worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, start in 10 minutes. Oh, nope. Sorry.